Titus chapter 3, and at verse 3, we'll find the subject of our study tonight. Titus chapter 3, and in verse 3. Appreciate the reading, and the good reading that was made a few moments ago from Titus 3, verse 1 through 3. Rick did a good job. And in that verse, verse 3 of Titus 3, in the New King James Version again, it reads, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." The Cretans had become Christians, but they were now acting like they did before they became Christians. Titus had been instructed earlier in this epistle to correct them. Back at the end of the second chapter, just before the third chapter begins, Paul said, "Speak these things," meaning preach or teach these things, "exhort and rebuke or convict with all authority, and let no one despise you." Don't let someone reject you. And so some of the correction that needed to be had in the lives of these who were now Christians, but still living as though they were before they become Christians, begins in chapter 3 and verse 1 when he said, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities." Remind them to be subject, that is to be in subjection to the rulers, the magistrates, those governmental authorities. To obey, to be ready for every good work, every virtuous work, every work that is upright and pleasing in the sight of God. To speak evil of no one, don't defame one another, don't speak in such a way as to not only to defame, but to slander one's good name or reputation. But to be peaceable, to be gentle, showing all humility to all men. And then verse 3, from which we will take our lesson, "For we ourselves were also once." Note, we ourselves, Paul included himself here. "We ourselves were also once," and note that word "once." It has reference to formerly, that is before we became Christians, in times past, at one time. And at one time, or formerly, or in times past, before they became Christians, they were foolish, disobedient, deceived. And he goes on to name a total of 7 characteristics or traits in which they all had at one time before becoming Christians engaged in. But now Paul reminds Titus that as he preaches and teaches, he needs to put them in remembrance of these things so that they'll not be living like they once were before they became Christians. Of course, we do not have time tonight to look at all 7. We won't look at the first 3. We'll save the other 4 for another lesson, perhaps with the same title, "Things That Belong Before One Becomes a Christian." First, we note, Paul said, "We ourselves were also once foolish." Foolish was one of the things that belong in one's life before he becomes a Christian. To be foolish is to have a lack of understanding. And of course, when one lived his life before he became a Christian, he lived as one with a lack of understanding. For in the Bible, we read of the fool who was not just a simple-minded person. That's not the way the Scriptures refer to one as a fool, as being a simple-minded person. A fool is one who has a lack of understanding, especially a lack of understanding in regard to spiritual matters, such as the one mentioned in Psalm 14 in verse 1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." His lack of spiritual understanding and comprehension in regard to even seeing the things around about him. He can't put together the reasoning abilities, the perceptive abilities to come to recognize and realize that there must be a creator of all of this. So he says in his heart, "There is no God." He's a fool. He's foolish in his thinking. His understanding is simply darkened. The foolish are also those who despise godly wisdom. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." That's right. The foolish disregards any kind of instruction in regard to their spiritual well-being, in regard to how they should live their life as it would please God. They are simply foolish. The foolish are also those who walk in the darkness of such understanding. Ecclesiastes 2 and in verse 14, the wise man said, "The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness." Now this is it seems simple. The wise man's eyes are in his head. Are not all men's eyes in their head? Of course they are. But the point the wise man makes here when he says the wise man's eyes are in his head is the wise man truly can see. The wise man is truly perceptive. He doesn't just see that which can literally be seen with the eye. He literally sees that which can be seen with the mind. But note, but the fool walks in darkness. That is, he hasn't been enlightened at all. He walks, conducts himself, and behaves himself in life as if his eyes are on his back. He can't see. He has no perspective ability. But whether one is a fool or whether one is wise, spiritually enlightened, they're both going to go to the same place. The wise man said, that is, Solomon said, "I myself perceive that the same event happens to them all. They're both going to die." But the fool who walks in darkness as if his eyes are on his back and he can't see, he simply has no spiritual perspective of life after death. He doesn't see with his mind that he is going to die and stand before God in the judgment. So the foolish are truly those who walk in darkness. They have no spiritual perception, no spiritual understanding. The foolish are also those who hear the word of God, perhaps, but then will do nothing about it or simply will not obey its instructions. Matthew 7 and verse 24, "Therefore whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Yes, the foolish man is the one who hears the word of God, but will not do what the word of God says. Indeed, he is foolish. Now, Paul said that he, along with the Cretans, at one time were foolish. Paul had no spiritual understanding. You might say he had not been spiritually enlightened, even though the gospel had been being preached for a great number of years. But he simply had paid no attention to it. He certainly had not obeyed it. Acts 8 and in verse 1, "Now Saul of Tarsus was consenting to his death, that is to the death of Stephen at that time, and a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison." Yes, Saul of Tarsus was indeed foolish at one time in his life before he became a Christian. But when Paul became a Christian, he quit acting like a fool. He now could see with his mind. He could comprehend and understand the will of God. And he recognized and realized that he needed to obey it. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 23, he said, "But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block," that was him at one time, "to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Before Paul became a Christian, he thought this Jesus of Nazareth was someone that needed to had been put to death. And he thought that those who followed him needed to be put to death as well because they were in violation of the will of God. He was foolish indeed in his thinking, not recognizing and realizing that it was God's plan all along. for man to be saved in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 2 and in verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of Spirit and power of God. Now he is no longer a foolish man. But before he was a Christian, he was indeed foolish, he said. Well, the Cretans had become Christians like Saul of Tarsus had. But the Christians continued to act just as they had acted before they became Christians. They were foolish. Titus 1 and verse 16 we studied not very long ago. They professed to know God. Oh, they made the claim that they had a relationship with God. That's what it is to know God. But in works they denied Him, being abominable, disobedient, disqualified, or reprobate for every good work. So they were foolish again. And being foolish belongs when one, and before one becomes a Christian, not after one becomes a Christian. But Paul also said, we ourselves, he included himself again, we ourselves were also, not only in times past, before we became Christians at one time, not only foolish, but we were disobedient. We were disobedient. In our study of Titus 1 and verse 16, not long ago, remember that word disobedient when we go back in the Old Testament scriptures. It's found and recorded as rebellious. Same word in the Greek, Septuagint version, Greek translation of the Old Testament scriptures, rebellious. So when one is disobedient, he is rebellious. So before Paul became a Christian, he was rebellious. He was disobedient. Before the Cretans became Christians, they were disobedient. They were rebellious. And remember, disobedience is a characteristic of those who do not know God. That is, they do not have a relationship with God. We studied that in connection with Titus 1 and verse 16 again. 2 Thessalonians 1 and in verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 1 and in verse 7. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance, know this, on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what we said that little conjunction "and" could be translated as? And is translated as in the Jewish Bible. That is. So, on those who do not obey the gospel, on those who do not know God, that is those who do not obey the gospel. It's one group of people, it's not two. Those who have no relationship with God are those who do not obey God. So disobedience is a characteristic of those who do not know God. Disobedience is a characteristic of those who are not in fellowship with God. Those who are not in a relationship and union with God. When one is not a Christian, he is disobedient. He doesn't know God. He doesn't have a relationship with Him. Doesn't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they're disobedient. They're rebellious. But remember that it takes obedience to become a Christian. As Peter said, those to whom he was writing to had purified their souls in obeying the truth. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. So obedience causes one to become a Christian. Disobedience shows one that he's not in a relationship with God. He's rebellious toward God. In Philippians 2 and in verse 12, Paul said to the Philippian brethren, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean to work out their salvation? It means continue to obey. As they have always obeyed, work out their own salvation. That is, bring it to its ultimate conclusion. Work it out. Continue to obey. So obedience makes one a Christian. Continued obedience keeps one as a child of God, keeps him in the fellowship with God. But disobedience and rebellion toward God is the way that one conducts themselves before they became Christians. And disobedience is a terrible thing. It will be punished. Ephesians 5 and in verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Now I want you to note who he's writing to. He's writing to the saints at Ephesus, to Christians again. And evidently some of them also had a problem with disobedience. Again, they were acting as they were before they became Christians. If we engage in disobedience and rebellion toward God, we will receive the just recompense for our actions and our deeds. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 2 and in verse 2 and following, "For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, the word under consideration was the law of Moses. It proved to be steadfast. And every transgression of that law and every disobedient act regarding that law, it received a just recompense of reward." That is, if they violated the law, whatever the law said was to happen to them, happened to them. If they were to be stoned to death, they were stoned to death. If they were to be separated from the congregation of God's people, they were separated from the congregation of God's people. Every act in disobedience to the law of Moses received its just reward. So the question is, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to those who heard him? How shall we escape? The point is, there will be no escape. If they didn't escape under the old law, but were punished for their disobedience, we will also be punished for our disobedience under the law of Jesus Christ. And so being disobedient is another of those things which belongs before. That is, before one became a Christian, not after one becomes a Christian. Remember, Paul himself had been disobedient before becoming a Christian. He classes himself with the Cretans. In 1 Timothy 1, in verse 13, he said, "Although I was formerly," note that, formerly, "I was once," that is, in times past, "I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. I was formerly this, but I'm not that anymore because I'm a child of God, I'm a Christian." And so when Paul became a Christian, he quit acting like one who engaged in rebellion and disobedience toward God. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, "But I discipline my body and bring it in subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified," there's that word, "or reprobate, or unfit, or useless." As the Cretans were, Titus 1 and verse 16, disqualified, unfit, or useless for any good work, reprobate. The Cretans, even though they had become Christians, they had not ceased to act in disobedience. And so Paul reminds them of that. Titus 1 and in verse 12. "One of them, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true, therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith.'" So they had become Christians, but they were continuing in their disobedience. That kind of conduct belonged before they became Christians, not after they became Christians. Titus 1:16 again. "They profess to know God. They claim to have an allegiance with God. They claim to be in union and fellowship with Him, but in works they deny Him." Their works, their actions, their deeds, their behavior denies that they're in fellowship with God. This is one of the things which needed, evidently, Titus needed to set in order when he came to the island of Crete. Titus 1 and verse 5. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that were lacking. What was lacking in the lives of these Christians on the island of Crete? Well, disobedience. Or might we say obedience was lacking. They were continuing in foolishness and disobedience. It needed to be certainly set in order. A third thing that Paul said needed to be set in order as well was their being deceived. He said, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, and deceived. To be deceived means to be misled. That is to be led astray, to be led off into error. And it's a terrible thing to be led off into error, to be deceived by some who they think perhaps they're teaching the will of God, but they themselves also may be deceived. But it's a terrible thing to be deceived. In Matthew 15 in verse 13, but he answered and said, that is Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Now many people, when they look at this, they have the idea that the plan under consideration is the doctrine or the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees that are under consideration. But the plan under consideration is the Jewish people as a whole here. Remember, God had planted them as a choice vine in ages past. They were the planting of God. You go back and read and study in the Old Testament. God had planted them. They were indeed His vine, His choice plant. But they had turned into a degenerate vine, into a vine that produced rotten fruit instead of the kind of fruit that God wanted them to produce. And so on this occasion, Jesus has in mind the unbelieving, disobedient, rebellious Jews. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. The point is those unbelieving scribes and Pharisees and religious leaders of that day are going to be destroyed. They're going to be uprooted. Let them alone, Jesus said. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch. They're blind leaders of the blind. They're leading people who are spiritually blind, and they themselves are spiritually blind, and both will go to destruction. But it's a terrible thing to be deceived. Some people are deceived by those who are spiritually blind, like some of the unbelieving Jews in the first century. They were misled and deceived by their own religious leaders. Their religious leaders were spiritually blind, and they themselves allowed themselves to be taken away in that spiritual blindness. And so they were all going to be destroyed. Paul himself knew what it was to be spiritually blind. He knew what it was to be deceived, because at one time he had been deceived, led astray. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived. Paul was deceived? Indeed he was deceived. Acts 26 and in verse 9. He said, indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name or person of Jesus of Nazareth. Why? Because he was deceived. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Well, who deceived Paul? Well, the religious leaders of his day. He sat at their feet. He listened to them. He believed what they said. They misled him. They were blind leaders of the blind. And if Paul had not seen the light, literally and spiritually, he would have continued in that condition. So Paul knew what it was to talk about being deceived, because he himself had been deceived. But later he warned others about being deceived. Text we read this morning, Galatians 1 and verse 8. But even if we apostles, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed, let him be anathema, and let him be dedicated or devoted to destruction. Why? Don't be deceived when someone comes preaching some other gospel to you. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, that which you have already believed, and that which you've already obeyed, let them be accursed. Let them be dedicated and devoted to destruction. So Paul knew what it was to be deceived. Before he was a Christian, he had been deceived. And now he warns people on being deceived, being led astray by those who would teach error. Well, the Cretans had been deceived. They had been deceived even after becoming Christians. And so Paul warns them, you were deceived before you became Christians, and now you're still being deceived. Being deceived if something that should happen to you before you become a Christian, not after you become a Christian. After you become a Christian, you ought not to be deceived. There is but one gospel and one gospel truth. You need to adhere to that. Titus 1 and verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word, instructions to Titus in regard to the instructions that he is to give those who would become elders of congregations. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he might be able by sound doctrine, wholesome and healthy doctrine and teaching, both to exhort and convict those who contradict, that is, those who oppose the true gospel of Jesus Christ. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, that is, evidently Judaizing teachers, who are going about different congregations on the island of Crete, deceiving people, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, they destroy entire families, teaching things which ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. So the Cretans are being deceived again. They were at one time, remember, deceived, but they're being deceived again. And being deceived is another of these things which belongs before becoming a Christian and not after one becomes a Christian. But as bad as it is to be deceived and misled by others, there's something else even worse than that, and that's deceiving your own self. Because you can deceive your own self. James 1 and verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, control his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. It's vain. It's empty. It's of no profit. So you can deceive your own self. In 2 John 9, passage we looked at this morning as well, whoever transgresses, whoever, doesn't matter who you are, whoever you are, even after you become a Christian, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ doesn't remain within its authoritative bounds, does not have God, does not have fellowship with God. But the one who abides in the doctrine of Christ, one who remains steadfast in the authoritative bounds that have been set in the Word of God, has fellowship with both the Father and the Son, is in union with the Father and the Son, is in a relationship with them. But if you do not abide in that doctrine, you're not in a relationship with them. You're disobedient and rebellious again. You're acting like you were before you became a Christian. You have deceived yourself. Just remember that these three things belong before we became a Christian. For we ourselves were also once, formerly, in times past, at one time in our life, we were foolish, disobedient, and deceived. We ought not to be foolish now as children of God. We ought not to play the part of the fool. Remember, the fool hears the word of God, but will not continue to obey it. We were disobedient before we became Christians. Let's not revert to that character trait now as we are Christians. Let's not be rebellious. Let's work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Let's not be deceived by someone who teaches something that is not true. Let's be students of the Word. And when someone is teaching something that is not true, let's know the Word enough to know that what is being taught is not in harmony with the will of God. It's not wholesome and healthy teaching. It'll bring damnation to your soul. Let's not be deceived by our own selves either. Let's not think that we're pious and devout and play the hypocrite. Let's make sure our religion is genuine and true and sincere in the eyes of God. The question is, are you a Christian? If so, are you living as you did before you became a Christian? Foolish? Disobedient and deceived? If so, repent of that sin. Confess that sin to God, and we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.